Well, I'll tell you a little bit about what I'm going to speak to you about tonight is being commissioned in God's presence. And the reason this is so on my heart is because I'm an evangelist. Is anyone else an evangelist here? I'm aware that not, we don't always know if we are, but is there anyone knows that's there? Richard, I spoke to Richard. Is Richard, isn't it? I spoke to Richard today about his cross. Yeah, so a few of us, we know that that is our particular calling, but I want to talk to us tonight about how all this presence of God stuff actually works out in the everyday. You know, it's nice, isn't it, talking about God's presence and his holy healing presence and us getting all healed up and whole and restored or healed in our bodies. But, you know, there's a lost and dying and hurting world, as you well know, around us. And we are the message. We are it. We are the body of Christ. We are the people with the healing hands and the hope for people on our streets, our neighbours, our family members who don't know Jesus, whoever it might be, our towns. I loved hearing earlier that you're going out to give out the Easter cards that you've been making and the friendship bracelets. I think that's wonderful. It's something I'm very passionate about. But I thought I'd just tell you a little bit about myself, because you know who John is. I'm just doing this one talk this evening, this weekend. But I'm a teacher. I teach French in a primary school 3 days a week. So I'm lucky enough to, at the moment, to work part-time because I've had a baby, and you've all met Emmanuel. He's hopefully going to sleep through this talk. So yes, I teach, and I also help in the congregation at New Life in Greenwich. I know you all met Abby last year. She's our church leader. We love her. And we're part of Abby's church in Greenwich. And Kevin, I think I'll just nab that back. Don't worry about it. No, it's okay. I don't want to waffle, you see, so I'll get my little points up. So that's a little bit about me. And I just want to say as well, thank you for having us. It's been such a blessing to be here this weekend. You know, it says, doesn't it, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And we really felt that we've received so much from just our short conversations or longer conversations with some of you. So thank you so much for having us. So no matter whether you feel that evangelism is your thing or not, this is more, I'm not talking about street preaching tonight or kind of going out in the big missional style, although I think that is brilliant. It's more the day-to-day, those of us who work, those of us who have families or children, who might be Christians or not Christians. I want to think a bit more practically this evening. I always think John, he loves the theological stuff, and I like to know where it fits into the everyday life. So I hope that's all right with you. But I'm going to think quite kind of application tonight. What is it that we do now with the presence of God? How is it that we are the presence of God, if you like, as God flows through us in our workplaces, in our neighbourhoods, in our family lives? And I don't know about you, but I have to confess, this has happened a few times to me where I've had a particularly lovely holy moment at home. You know, Manuel's been having his nap and I've just been worshiping or reading my Bible. You know, you grab your moments when you can, don't you? If you know you've got children, it's busy. And then John might get back. Sometimes he works in the local church, so sometimes he pops back for lunch and things, which is nice. But he'll pop back and, you know, I'll snap at him for something, or I get irritated really quickly, and I've gone from this, like, really holy, please nod your head if this is you as well, but, you know, like, it's just me and Jesus here, and we're like this, and like, I'm this perfect Christian because, like, we're having such this holy moment. And then your husband or wife gets back, or your child turns up and, you know, whatever, they've annoyed you. And you think, oh, it's all come crashing down. You know, where did that presence of God go? And I think we're all like that, aren't we? You know, you're not on your own. You're not on your own. This happens to me a lot. And, you know, in some ways, there's no excuses, are there, when we need to treat our families and our spouses kindly. But, you know, what is it about that presence of God that sometimes it can just be sapped in that moment? And, you know, I don't know about you, but I want to get to a place where I am so full of love that, you know, I can go from a holy moment to an everyday moment. and I just bring out that love of God wherever I am. As I said, I work in a primary school. It's very busy. It's a big primary school. Lots of children with anger problems and all kinds of things that I have to deal with every day. It's not easy. It pushes all your buttons. And I've, you know, only recently just started to pray more. You know, I go through those seasons. I don't know about you, but you're super spiritual at work this week. You know, you're praying loads over your office or your classrooms. And then other weeks you just think, I've lost it. You know, where am I with this? I thought I was a really one of the good super spiritual Christians that, you know, sees loads of cool stuff. And then the next week, you know, you're back to square one. But it is so simple, isn't it? It's just that little bit of prayer wherever you are in your workplace. So those of us that do have jobs at the moment and work, I would encourage you just to keep praying over your workplace. Just keep praying. Keep inviting the presence of God. You know, what we have here, you can have at work as well. And particularly, I'd encourage you if there's other Christians in your workplace. I know I was talking to Ian before. It was wonderful hearing about his workplace. But, you know, pray when you can, even if it's a short prayer. Pray when you can. Agree together over your workplace with other Christians. So I want to just talk a little bit about how God's presence changes our hearts. And I don't know where you're at with this, but this journey for me started when I was about 17 and I had a part-time job at Specsavers. I did my work experience there. The guy at our church owned it. And anyway, I came up with this job. It was really good. It was just a Saturday job. And I found myself getting quite a lot of opportunities to talk about Jesus with my colleagues. There was a guy who's a Muslim, and I didn't really know any Muslims until I met Asif. And he was challenging me on all these things. And I was an evangelist then. I wanted people to believe. I wanted people to become Christians. But I was very into, well, you know, right and wrong. You know, are people living right or are people living wrong? It was quite black and white. I don't know whether you were like that when you were a bit younger. Maybe some of you still are as adults. But I know for me, I've become much less black and white about things and judging people's lives or things, and just becoming more interested in journeying with people. But certainly at the age of 17, I was very much, well, that's wrong, you know, and I know it all kind of thing. But there was one Saturday evening where I drove home. I was driving my mum's car along a coastal road. It was very bumpy. And I was just thinking about my work colleagues and thinking about God and, you know, how do people become Christians? Like, it seems too far-fetched for these people to get there. And like, how does it ever happen? And, you know, kind of really wanting to see it. And I just started to cry. And I just felt the presence of God come into this car. And to be honest, this was probably, the first experience like this for me. I just started to weep and weep. And it got this kind of ache in my heart, got stronger and stronger. And I knew that I was crying over these people that didn't know the Lord. But it was a funny experience. It was like God just came upon me just to give me more of his heart. And it was very overwhelming. And I got in the door at home and I went straight to my bedroom. And my mum had seen me come in and she came in. And it sounds dramatic, but, you know, I threw myself on the floor and I was just howling and crying out to God for these people. And my mum had her arm around me. And she said, I know what's happening. It's okay. It's okay. I know what's happening. You're getting God's heart. You're getting God's heart for people. And I said, it's too much. I can't. It's too much. This ache, you know, and it was almost like just a glimpse, really, of what God feels for people who don't know him. But he was showing me that. And from that day on, I just had a completely different outlook on people that didn't know the Lord. You know, it was less about they've got to say a prayer to kind of get in or to become a Christian. And it was more about, wow, God just loves you. He just loves you to bits. And I just want to keep telling you and keep loving you. And so we don't all necessarily need or have those kinds of experiences where we touch into the heart of God and he reveals that. But I'd encourage you, if you are someone that just thinks, well, you know, I know we want people to be saved, but I don't feel that, Emily. You know, I'm not yearning for that. That's okay. And I don't feel that all the time either at all. But it's about us getting to a place where we're in the heart of God, and that changing us so that we see people as they are, as loved. And that makes us want to reach out to people. People can be very irritating, can't they? Let's face it. So we need love, and we need to get into that heart of God, that presence of God, to get his heart. So there's three areas, and these were going to come up on the screen, but it doesn't matter. Because in the word commissioning is the word mission. So when we're thinking about being commissioned, and I, like I've said, that's actually receiving God's heart is the most important thing in being sent out. It's not whether you've got all the skills or the Christian training or the education or the knowledge of the Bible to be sent out to do something for the Lord or to see people saved. It's actually about your heart. You know, God looks at the heart, and he uses people whose hearts are full of faith in him. And that's totally true through scripture, isn't it? That God always chooses people in relation who are in relationship with him. So if you're sat there thinking, well, I don't feel a bit inadequate, I don't feel like I've got much to give to other people, then don't worry about it, because God uses people who are weak and inadequate, and his strength is made perfect, isn't it, in our weakness. So thinking about this word mission in the word commission. So we're commissioned and we're given a mission. And I want to think about three areas just briefly this evening about mission. So God's overall mission. Maybe you want to turn to the person next to you. What is God's overall mission? Now, there's no right or wrong here, okay? But just have a go with your group around you. What is God's overall mission? Do you want to just shout out? Let's have this group over here. God's overall mission in a little nutshell. Anyone? Any ideas? Yes. Save souls. Redeem mankind. Yep. Yeah. Anyone else? Yes, none should perish. Come on. Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah. So you've basically all said the same thing, okay? That none will perish, that all will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. That is what we're here for. But what is more important for us, okay? So that is God's overall mission. How does he want us to fulfil that mission? Well, you know the first commandment. You know, Jesus was asked, wasn't he, what is the greatest commandment? And in Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, let's read that together from verse 37. Have we got it? This is the greatest, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I just felt like tonight God wanted to bring us back to some basics. So I'm sorry for those of you who are a lot more mature than me in the faith. But this to me is something that the Lord just wants us to come back to. You know, we can get very complicated when you've been a Christian a while as to calling and what does God want me to do. And we get wrapped up in God's plans for the future, and I certainly have often gone down those roads. And it's good, obviously, and we're going to talk about individual callings in a moment and missions, but I just felt like God wants to say, fundamentally, my people, I've made you to love me and that you would be loved. So love the Lord your God, Broadfield. Love him with all your heart, love him with all your mind, love him with all your heart and soul. I believe that that's what God is saying to me as well. Keep it simple. The absolute number one priority in our lives, whatever our mission is to save other people, it's to love God. It is to love him first and foremost. And I love before when you prayed at the end, you said, Jesus, I love you. And You know, sometimes you don't hear that a lot when people pray. You know, just very simply telling God, God, I love you. And you know what? I was reflecting on this earlier. I remember going to a church a few years back now. And I mean, you know, I've been a Christian a long time, but I remember hearing someone saying, Jesus, I love you, and thinking, wow, that's like really intimate. And, you know, I guess when I was growing up, I could say to people, I believed in God, but did I really love him? Yes, I think I did love him. And I suppose I should give myself a bit of room because, you know, you grow in love, don't you? And like I said, when I was younger, I was such a good girl, and I needed to know exactly what was right and wrong. And I actually struggled with guilt a lot in the past because I always felt the standard of being a Christian was far too high. And I just used to think, oh, what's the point? Is you always mess up and get it wrong. And what I wasn't realizing was that Jesus had met the standard for me. So I did love God, but I think I saw him more, as someone to please, rather than somebody that just loved me as I was. So I don't know whether that rings true for anyone here tonight, but don't carry around that feeling that you have to attain to a standard, because God's done it for you. You just have to receive. So loving God, telling Jesus that you love him. He loves that, doesn't he, Jesus? If you're a parent here, I'm not at that stage yet because Emmanuel doesn't really speak words, just noises. But when he can and he says, Mummy, I love you, I mean, I just well up thinking about it now. You know, if you've got children and they say that to you, I'm sure that you feel just overjoyed that they would choose to say that. So let's tell Jesus that we love him. And, you know, you're setting that example. So that's lovely. Just to say, if you find it hard, like I used to say, Jesus, I love you, and it feels a little bit too close, there might just be some barrier that you need to bring to the Lord and just say, Lord, get rid of that. Whatever it is that's stopping me from loving you that closely and saying that in a public place as well. You know, I think that speaks a lot of your relationship with the Lord and how close it is that you can say that to, you know, before the people and you're not, you know, embarrassed about that. I think that's wonderful. So, yeah, let's tell Jesus that we love him. The next part of this commandment, love your neighbour as yourself. Now, interestingly, I don't want to concentrate on the love your neighbour. I want to concentrate on where it says as yourself. Because what I felt God speak to me about is that there's people here that need to love themselves, actually. Because if we're to love others, it says you shall love your neighbour as yourself. So if you don't value yourself very much, or you don't think very highly of yourself, or think you're that important, you might not do a very good job of then loving other people. You know, so loving God is the main thing. But of course, in that love relationship, as you're loving God, you get poured into his love. And then you learn to appreciate yourself. And I'm a child of God. I've been set free. I'm priceless. You know, and that's not, you're not superior for thinking those things. You know who you are. And I don't know whether you know of people, maybe in this room now, that are just confident people because they know who they are. And they don't love themselves in an egotistical way, but they know they're important to the Lord Jesus, and they know that they're saved and forgiven. And that's really powerful. And I'd encourage us all to start loving ourselves. And if you don't, and if you think quite lowly of yourself, there are many, many, many of us who do, and it's not something that you can just, you know, often click of a finger. I have a friend at the moment who's been a Christian years and recently found her saying things about, well, it's actually about the way she looks. And she, I mean, yeah, it's crazy, really, you know, people's minds, the way they play things around. But you know, she's beautiful, she's made in God's image, but she doesn't see that. You know, she doesn't see it. And I'm really praying for her at the moment that she would see that. So sometimes it can be, you know, a physical thing, but often it's just in terms of our mind and our thoughts, how we consider ourselves in a group of people, you know, how that makes us feel to be alongside other people, maybe in our church. And it's really, really important to God that we learn to love ourselves. And if you don't, then it's just prayer. It's just talking. There's reasons, aren't there? There's always roots and reasons why we don't love or appreciate ourselves. It's probably because we haven't had enough affirmation in our lives from the right people. So that's something that God can do. So just hold some of these things. If you feel like some of these things apply to you, we're just going to have a bit of time for prayer at the end. So just hold that. So Matthew 28, another part of God's overall mission. So my first point, God's overall mission, loving the Lord our God, loving our neighbour as we love ourselves. Matthew 28, Jesus speaks to his disciples and says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Let's read it together, shall we? And he said to him, oh no, wrong bit. Oh, sorry, Matthew 28, verse 18. Let's all read it together when it's up here. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Let's keep going. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So this is all a bit about discipleship, isn't it? Go, therefore, and make disciples. This is what Jesus left his disciples with. And this is something else that I'm coming back to. I think I'm at a point in my life at the moment where, but I'm going to be 30 in September. And so it's a bit, it's a milestone for me. And I feel like God is starting to help me reflect on my journey so far. And something that I feel like he's bringing me back to a lot is, am I making disciples? So I want to ask you, are you making disciples? Now that can look lots of different things. So it can be your children. You know, you're bringing your children up to know the Lord. You are discipling your children. And that is wonderful and brilliant. It might be a friend that you meet up with occasionally and you speak into their life in some kind of way, or you pray with them. Now that is kind of discipling people. But Jesus's model of discipleship was taking bunch of guys, loving them, being friends with them, journeying with them, teaching them day by day whilst he was with them, showing them how to do miracles, you know, whatever. He was just doing life with them. And I guess that's a challenge for us in terms of discipleship. So who am I discipling? Who am I investing in? Jesus chose 12. And then, of course, you know, Peter, James and John were his buddies, his close buddies. I just feel like God's asking us the question tonight. Who are those people who you're investing in? Who are the people that you're teaching about the Lord? And I think it's challenging to those of us who have been Christians for a while to keep on discipling. And I'm sure you're all doing this. And there's also different seasons, isn't there, where you're busy or you have children and you think, oh, I can't meet up with loads of people at the moment. You know, work pressures, that's fine. But I just wonder whether God tonight wants to highlight some people. It might be in our workplaces, or it might be in our extended family, or it might be a neighbour. And just say, Lord, I want to reach out to disciple, to teach that person about who you are and what you're like. Who are we discipling? You know, this is part of God's mission, is how he's going to redeem mankind, as we said over there. It's through discipleship. It's through meeting up with people, talking about the Lord. And obviously, discipleship's a huge thing, and I'm not going to go into that. But let's just bring that before the Lord. Lord, who is it? Who are my few? Who are my few that I need to invest my time in? And I'm asking myself the same question. Jesus was intentional about who he chose and who he trained. And he invested a huge amount in a small group. Who are the few we are intentionally investing in? So I'll just leave that question there. So the second part of this whole idea of mission is, what is God wanting to do with us in this season? So, your church, what is it in this season that God wants you to do? What mission is he giving you? Now, it might be that you're already, you know, on a mission together. You know where you're headed in this season. You might know a group in your community you're particularly reaching out to, single mums or whoever it might be, students, I'm not sure. But there might be something new that God wants to lay on your hearts for this coming season to do with mission. And that might be a type of thing you do. So like the street stuff with the Easter cards, you know, is that something he's leading you to do more, you know, be in public? These are just throwing these ideas out there. I'm not sure. But I think we think about God's overall mission, loving him, loving ourselves, loving people, making disciples. How does that then impact on our local church? And at New Life, we've actually just moved location. We were meeting in a primary school in Greenwich, but we've moved back to East Greenwich, which is where we have a little building, but it's too small to meet in on Sundays. So we're now meeting in a primary school called Halstow, and it's actually smaller. It's actually a smaller building than we were meeting in. So I think at first people were like, well, how are we going to grow? We need to surely move somewhere bigger. But you know what? We just knew it was the right thing. And who knows? I feel like God's going to push some of us out at some point to start something new, perhaps. But that's not on the cards just yet. So that was a direction that God was taking our community of people. You know, we need to meet somewhere different. Another thing was that we've run a CAP centre. You all know about CAP. Yeah, most of you Christians Against Poverty. So brilliant, big debt charity that help people right out of debt. They take all the paperwork, they deal with the creditors. It's wonderful. They just totally take off the pressure and the strain of the debt, which no other organisation does. John used to be the CAP centre manager at New Life until he felt like that was the right time to stop. But you basically have to pay I think it's about £10,000 or something every year to CAP. But of course, you're paying for them to deal with everything. And it gives you massive opportunities for people who really need help and need Jesus in your community. But actually, we felt that that's coming to an end now. So we've been the CAP Centre for Greenwich for, I think it's 4 years. But you know what? We feel like God's saying that needs to be laid down now because there's something else. So I guess my question is, what is Jesus wanting us at New Life to take up next? You know, God keeps on giving us things to do, ways to be fruitful. And I wonder what he's saying to your church about what he wants you to take up in this season together on a mission. I think that's a strapline from somewhere, isn't it? So we thought about overarching mission. We thought about God's mission for our local church a little bit. And lastly, I just want to think about the ways God commissions us as individuals. So kind of scaling down a little bit to us. And we have individual missions from God because we've got different talents we're born with. Some that we develop, skills, passions, we're all different, which is wonderful. And God wants to take up our individual lives to fulfill things as well. He obviously fulfills things as we're a body, but he wants to take you and only you to do particular things. Now, it doesn't mean he couldn't necessarily use somebody else, but, you know, there's no one else like you. Do you realise that? You are totally unique. There's no one else like you in your town. You are like a complete unique mix of experiences and talents and gifts and skills and spiritual insight and all kinds of things. And God has a call on your life to do things for him. Whether you believe that or not, or whether you like the idea of it or not, there is stuff for you to do for God, and you're needed. You're needed in this whole mission, this overarching mission of redeeming mankind. You are needed. And I was thinking about a few examples recently of individual things that I think, oh no, I'm not called to that. So there's one, I don't know whether any of you picked up the Christianity magazine in your room when you got here. That was quite nice. I had a little flick through and there was an article, I don't know whether you read it, about a couple, a guy first and then he married a South African who went to Cape Town and is now living amongst drug addicts and gangs in Cape Town. And Cape Town you think of as this lovely idyllic, you know, place to go to the beach and Table Mountain and stuff. But, you know, as most places, there is a very deprived area of Cape Town. And this guy, he's like in his 20s and his wife, who he met there, now live amongst, and they have these drug addicts in their house. You know, that he's called to that. And he was called to that because he, in his words, he saw it and he felt responsible. And sometimes God can call us in that way, can't he? When we see things sometimes, we just get that stirring, oh, I've got to do something about this now. So sometimes our calling is often a response to what we see and needs. But it's not always needs driven. I was thinking about Richard and the cross. And how God laid that on his heart to carry that cross that she's been doing for years. And I just think that's wonderful. You know, we didn't all wake up and think that, did we? You know, that is something that God has put in Richard's life to do. And, you know, I know God has brought so much fruit out of that. I watched Songs of Praise with my mum. I don't normally watch Songs of Praise, but it was really lovely and encouraging. There's a story of a girl in Wales who inherited... Did anyone watch this? No, I thought I saw a nod, inherited some money. And I don't know how much it was, but yes. Do you know about this? Yeah, you saw it as well, yeah. I think I've got this story right, forgive me if I haven't, but she inherited some money. And, you know, temptation is to invest your inheritance or whatever, or buy something that's going to make more money. But she felt God say to her, if you give me this money, then you will never have to worry about anything. I will always, you know, I will provide for you. And she decided to buy a bus, and she goes round on this bus to young people in Wales, probably a certain part of Wales, I can't remember which part of Wales, but these young people get on the bus and she talks about Jesus with them and they get saved and they join churches. And you know, she spent this 20 grand or whatever it was on this bus. She's done it up, it's lovely, it's, you know, where these children can come and learn about the Lord. So these are just a few examples of particular specific callings that God has for us. And callings, you know, they can come from God himself. And I think sometimes God works with our dreams and passions, you know, what we want to do. God then says, you know what, that's a great idea. Let's go with that one. You know, Richard and the cross, you know, God must love that. Working with that kind of passion for people. So specific missions for our own lives, they can often be lifelong, can't they? Think of like people like William Wilberforce, who, you know, gave his whole life to trying to abolish slavery. You know, that was like a lifelong mission, wasn't it? That was something he just had to commit to and persevere with and carry on with. And I don't know whether any of you feel like you have a lifelong mission, you know, something that maybe early on God just put in your heart and it's just never going to go away. I'd encourage you to reflect on that, if that's you. Go back to what God said in the early days, maybe, of your walk with him. What is it that he... It might be a workplace, or it might be... I don't know what it might be, but you might know if you've got a lifelong mission. I can't say I have particularly yet, though I'm just getting on with the things that God gives me. But I think that's wonderful if God gives you something just to run with your whole life and see through. Missions can just be for seasons, can't they? So I used to work in a secondary school, and, you know, my mission was to those young people. It was to those teachers and that staff. And I set up a little prayer meeting every week with some teachers who wanted to pray. Actually, the first guy that came to pray with me wasn't a Christian, so that was quite encouraging. But you know, I'm not working there anymore, but that was a seasonal mission. I felt very, you know, called to that school and that those young people and those teachers and those staff, and I, you know, gave it my all. while I was there. And then obviously there's a time to move on. And I just want to encourage us, those of us that think, oh, Emily, I don't have a big call. I don't know, you know, whether what God wants me to particularly do for him. Well, that's probably like most of us here. But all I feel like God wants to say to you, to those of us who feel that way, is wherever you are every day, that is your mission. You don't have to have a big call from God. You know, people like, I don't know, Heidi Baker or Jackie Pullinger, these people who have these wonderful testimonies. You know, they don't just happen either. These people have been serving the Lord for, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, just day in, day out. And it can all look quite glamorous, but it's where they were just day by day, just serving, loving, giving to God and to others, that was their mission. So I just say to you now, wherever you work, that's your mission. Whoever you're married to, it's your mission just to keep loving. Wherever you're living, your street, that's your mission. That's your mission field. So we've got lifelong missions. We've got missions for seasons. And we've got our everyday, day-to-day kind of mission living. It's wherever you are. We're all missionaries. We're all sent ones. My mission field at the moment is lots of mums with their babies and families. My mission field is my neighbours, because I work part-time and it's sunny now. I'm always in the back garden and I chat to them over the fence and take opportunities. I took an opportunity to pray for Lynn, my neighbour, who was having chemotherapy for lung cancer. And yeah, it was quite serious. And this was last year, actually. And there's just one, and she didn't know I was a Christian, but one day I just said, oh, listen, Lynn. Because she'd poured out her heart, bless her, and I just thought, I've got to offer to pray for her. You know, there's just nothing else for it. I said, Lynn, can I just pray for you? And she said, oh, yes, I'd love that. And then it turned out her brother or cousin, I can't remember, is a Christian. So there's always a praying person. But I prayed for her. And to cut a long story short, I prayed for her again when I met her at the shop down the road. She's not in remission, but she's having checks. But basically, the cancer's basically cleared up. And she said to me, it's because you prayed. You know, and I just thought, I don't think it is. But, you know, you can believe that. But I felt the Lord say, no, that's that whole, you know, John 15, that the glory gets given to the Father for answered prayer. And, you know, me of little faith, you know, guess it was the prayer, you know. But we think sometimes there has to be some wham bam, you know, experience for someone to be healed. Well, it's sometimes just prayer, a little prayer of, you know, obedience. Following the Holy Spirit, and God can do so much with it, can't he? So, yeah, my mission field at the moment. How am I doing for time, Kevin? I feel like I've been going on and on. Okay, right, I need to wrap up because we want to pray. Okay, mission field, day to day. So just lastly, before we respond tonight, I feel that God wants to say over... well, everybody here, mission possible. It's not mission impossible. You know, you've seen that film with what's his face, Tom Cruise, that's the one. You know, we all know it. He's going down. He's got to type something on the keyboard. His sweat's about to drop. You know, we often think that about our Christian lives or what we've got to do for God. You know, it's super stressful and difficult. But God wants to say over us and over this church, mission possible. Whatever it is you feel God is calling you to in your lives, as a church, as individuals, that overarching making disciples, loving God, loving people, loving yourself, it's possible. It's possible. It's possible to do and to be all of these things. And the enemy lies and says things aren't possible. And that's what happened to Jesus when he was commissioned and baptized and about to be sent out into his ministry. He was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. Wasn't he? So we've got to expect a little bit of opposition, everyone. Okay, don't give up. You know, when you start pushing out into the things that God has for you in your life, or you start discipling people, or you start raising your children to believe in Jesus, the enemy presses in and says, you can't do it. It's not possible. It's too difficult, this Christian life. And we just say, no, in Jesus' name, it is possible. because Jesus' mission, he fulfilled his mission so we could fulfill ours. I believe that he lived a life on this earth. He went through what we go through. He died. He rose again so that we could live and fulfill the mission that now God has in his heart for us. So I want to end there. And we're just going to think a little bit about how to respond. So what do we think God is saying about this particular season for your church and the mission, maybe the way that God wants to use you as a people? Want you to think a little bit about that. And also God, what God's specific mission is for you at the moment. Does he want to remind you of a lifelong calling that maybe you've put down? Does he want to remind you of what he's calling you to at the moment? And two more things. Do you love yourself? If you don't, let's pray about it. Okay. And lastly, do you want to receive a deeper love for the lost? Do you want that? Do you want to glimpse the heart of God? And let me tell you, it's overwhelming, but it changes your whole way of living with other people who don't know the Lord. So is that all right? Now, I don't know. John's not here, is he, unfortunately, to play. But Kevin, would you be willing to just tinkle in the background? And if you normally pray, would you just come and join me at the front? That would be really helpful, because then we can pray for people that would just like prayer tonight. So if you'd like prayer for anything that I've spoken about tonight, you want prayer for God to speak to you maybe about mission, what he has for you, then that's great as well.